Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you're now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, hosted by yours truly, evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida, which our co-host will be absent on today. But we do have in the studio with us our good friend out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, none other than evangelist Gerald Perkins. As always, let us bow our heads for our opening prayer. We're going to ask that Evangelist Perkins bring our opening prayer on today.
Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we're so grateful, dear God, that you allowed us to be on Faith and Fear, our radio talk show today. And we thank you for all of our listeners that will be listening in today. We pray you give us the courage, the comfort that we need, dear God, not only to help ourselves, but others too. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
All right, listeners. Amen. We do thank Evangelist Perkins for that opening prayer. Our topic for today will be respecting leadership in the church. Yes, respecting leadership in the church. And remember, listeners, you can join us on this today's topic just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, or just wants to share your thoughts and experience on today's amazing topic. As I said, the topic will be respecting leadership in the church. And stay tuned with us as we discuss this awesome topic for today. Many scriptures are in the Holy Bible tells us about those who have authority over God's church and the sheep that are under their authority. We first must realize and know who gives these leaders that ability, authority, and why they are instructed to lead in that capacity. God gives them the authority to have authority over the church. We must obey those according to the scriptures in the book of Romans 13:1-14. Then we're going to visit also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12-14. We have some more scriptures that we will be discussing on today's topic. But for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist has been instructed by God. It also tells us to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That's coming from Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 12-14. Now you may say, Evangelist Chapman, in the book of Romans, talk more about the authority government authority, or governor authority. Yes. The reason why, because if you cannot obey leadership and authority over those that govern over us, how can we recognize the leaders that God has in the church, that God has placed in those and that capacity to lead us in the household of faith? We must first learn how to respect all authorities. And my mind runs back when it said, train up a child while they're young, and when they grow up, they will not depart. They would always come back. Because why? They was taught to know the truth. They was taught about God and his darling son, Jesus. They was taught how to love God, respect God. They was taught how to love and raise up in a manner of going to church. And when going to church, their parents taught them about their pastor and the deacons and the deaconess and so forth, the leaders within the church. So we cannot obey authorities, earthly authorities. How could we recognize and obey those that are around us and have authority over us in the body of Christ? Well, the reason why I said that is because when we train our children to obey the law, then we find we will find children that not getting themselves into trouble. Why? Because they have been raised to respect and obey authority. And this is why children is caught up in what they're caught up in today. Because they don't have no respect for the law, not only respect for their parents or the community or the elders, they have no respect for the law itself. And this is why they get caught up in so much trouble and so much evilness that is all around us today, because they have not been taught the word of God. So as we go with us, if you have your Bibles, to Romans, the 13th chapter, starting at the first verse, and we're going to read that, and we're going to break it down as is how God wants us to receive the submission to the authorities. Chapter 13, verse 1 said, everyone must submit himself to the governing authority, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists has been established by God. That means that if they are put in a capacity and they are there and they have Christ in their life, well, God has blessed them to be in that capacity. The President of the United States have authority. The governors have authorities. The mayors have authorities. The police department, but they always have a leader that's over the policeman, which is the chief of police. And then you have what? Highway patrol, dealing with what? Traffic, and dealing with how people operate their automobiles as they travel. All of this comes under authority, earthly authority. And it says, consequently, he who rebels, and I'm reading from the NIV version, our listeners. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So when they get caught up in something and the law catch them doing something wrong, if they speed, they get a ticket. If they're stealing, they go to jail. If they do not pay their taxes, there's a penalty. There's consequences behind our actions, right? So that you bring judgment on yourself. You're putting yourself through unnecessary stress and anxiety because why? You stepped out of the lines of the law. And when you're not obedient to the law, it brings on the consequences that we must pay for the actions that we take in life. The third verse said, for rulers hold no terror in those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? What that scripture is telling us that if we're doing what's right, if you do what's right, you don't have to. You don't fear or the law or fear authorities. Why? Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're obeying the rules and regulations. You're obeying those that have authority in that capacity. When you don't pay your taxes on your land or your house, what happens? They come in and they take it away from you. If you do not pay when you work and you don't file the income tax. There's a, so these things here, we have no fear when we're doing what's right and what's pleasing and acceptable in the eyesight of God. And that's what that means. We have no terror because we are doing the right thing. But for those who do wrong, they fear. When something comes up, then they're afraid to face reality. Why? Because they know they've done wrong, and now it's time for them to pay consequences behind their wrongness, then they get afraid. They get afraid of what could happen or what will happen to them. And they have a right to be afraid because now they're facing, they find themselves in trouble. They find themselves or have to find out a way to get out of this situation that they have put themselves in. Okay, do you want to be free from fear of the ones in authority? Then do what is right and be, and he will commend you. And the fourth verse says, for he is God's servant to do you good. It is, if you are a servant of God, it is good for you to do what's pleasing and acceptable to God. Doing the right thing, that's pleasing to God. And it pleases not only God, it will please the ones who have authority over us as well. Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and an agent of wealth do bring punishment on the wrong doer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of the conscience. In other words, when you have done the right thing, you can sleep at night when it's tax time or whenever something has you have to do and you obey your authority that asks you to do it, you have a good conscience about whatever you've done. Why? Because you tried, and sometimes we try to do right and we fail in our trying, but at least you try. At least you try. And don't think that our leaders and the ones who have authorities over us cannot calculate whether or not we try to do the right thing. So when we try to do the right thing, it helps us and help leaders and help the people around us to help us to continue to doing what's right. If we don't understand, they would take out time with us, and they will see that you have good deeds, great deeds on the inside of you. So that plays a big part as well. That plays would show a leader that it's not that you want to just do wrong and doing wrong because you want to do wrong, but sometimes things may not iron out the way that we try to do it, and be able to have enough wisdom to let someone talk to you and to be able to tell you whatever you tried to do it, but it wasn't done exactly right, then we would do what? We would listen, then we would pray and ask God to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of how to do it the correct way. Okay? It is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of our conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. And there, you know, some of our government is not right. Some of them is in, they take advantage of their position. They misuse their authority. So all the authorities that's there are not there. The devil don't have them doing these things. God has put some of them in positions to do what? To help us if they're a servant of God. If they're doing what's right, it is to help us and not to harm us. And it says, who give their full time to governing, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. What it's saying is you give respect to those who do honor. Your pastor, the leaders of the church, when a deacon come and say something to you, a deaconess or the usher, the leader on the usher board, the choir director, they get their instructions from the pastor. Or if one of the members come in and give you some instruction, they get it from the ones who have authority to over them to and in place to tell you they have the authority to tell you what they want you to do and how they want you to. It's like if you sing in the choir, you have an organ as a minister of music. He gives the songs. He rehearsed the songs. He said who would lead the song. He said what when you would have an opportunity to do whatever, play a part of whatever song that they're singing, whether it's your church service or concert or whatever they're involved in, the organist player is the leader of music, the minister of music. But sometimes you have a choir director that directs the choir, that directs your voice in which way it should go, a high, low, and which way the song should go. They also have authority, but they cannot direct you if the organist haven't given them instructions on how they want that song to be carried out, okay? And I'm going to yield right here, and we'll come back and do 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I think it's 1 through verse 14 we'll be talking about in the book of Romans. So I'm going to hear him bring in an awesome woman of God, Evangelist Jerry Perkins out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and let her emphasize on today's topic. Good afternoon, Evangelist. How are you doing on today?
I'm doing well. Glad to be on. And I love the topic in leadership in the church. We know that a lot of times, the pastor, even, you know, we would go against our leader for, especially if he's teaching something that's not pleasing to us. So we know that ministers must labor among their people, and they must be diligent and to the point of weariness. And we know that they are called labor and should not be lauded. Ministers are to rule their people. They must rule not with wrangle, but with love. They must have love for their people. They must have spiritual guidance by setting a good example to the flock. They are over the people in the Lord. They must rule the people by Christ's laws. They must admonish the people. They must instruct them to do well and should reprove when they do ill. But I've seen myself many times, no matter what the pastor taught, what his leadership was, there are those that would be against him. Not that they don't know what he said is right, Dr. Chapman, but because they don't want to do what he has said and they rather not hear it, that way they have no way of knowing and then they don't have a right to do it. And we know that being a leadership in leadership is always not easy, but we pray for those that they be encouraged and they find the strength to know that God has placed the under-shepherd over them and that they must follow the under-shepherd's instructions and do the best that they can. And at the same time, the under-shepherd must be a great leader. He must be a leader that they find that is truly following Christ. Now, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dr. Chapman, that you may continue
God bless you. Remember, listeners, you too can tune and can join in on this awesome topic on today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your thoughts on today's topic or on today's topic, go with me, if you will, to Titus, the book of Titus. And we're going to go there to the third chapter of Titus, starting at the first verse of Titus in the book of Titus. And it read as thus. You all that have your Bible, turn with me there, please. Third chapter of Titus tells us to remind the people to be subject to rulers in authority, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Now, this is about doing what is good. Doing what is good. When you want to do what's good, you're going to respect those that have authority. You're going to respect your pastor. You're going to respect those who's teachers. You're going to respect those who's trying to teach you the word of God. You're going to respect those who God has put in leadership. God has them there for us. This is why he called five calling of the gospel. You know, he put people in positions. And who are we to say what they should or shouldn't do? Who are we to say that God did not call them? We don't know that. We don't know that. All we know is that if the pastor or respect them enough to ordain them or to license them or to put them in leadership in the church or put them head over whatever or auxiliary that God has told the pastor of that church how to lead that church, then we should be obedient to what the pastor have his rules and his regulations, and we should respect who he called, who he put in those positions, because he is constantly praying for us. He's asking God for wisdom. How, like the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, "Lord, give me understanding." Most of all, he had wisdom and he had nature, but most of all, give me understanding how to lead your people. So this, your pastor's in that same position. I can imagine, and I know for a fact, he has to go to God to get guidance on how to lead God's people, not his people, but with God's people. And they got to be very careful how they give us instructions, very careful who they put in leadership, in a position to lead the church. Because if something goes wrong, it doesn't come back on the members of the church. It falls back on the pastor. Even if he puts someone to lead in a capacity and they mess up in that position, it falls back on your pastor, the head of the church. And who is over the head of the church? God is over the head of the church. So we have to be conscious of that. And let us continue reading in the book of Titus. It says, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humanity towards all men. We cannot have picks and chooses who we like, who we feel should do this, why we feel this one shouldn't be doing that. Why did pastor then choose me that I can do it better than that person? And I'm not going to do it because he should have asked me the first time. Some people have that type of attitude. But hearing the word of God, and Titus said, doing what is good is being considerate, having true humanity towards all men, not just the leaders of the church, but your sisters and your brothers in Christ, the members of the church, your community, your neighbors, your family, because God has placed some to be leaders in their family. They may not be teaching in Sunday school. They may not be preaching from the pulpit, but they can teach. And God has called them to bring their family to him, to save their families, to bring the word of God that they may have knowledge or what God wants them to know as well. Continue reading from the book of Titus. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient. Listen well, our listeners. Deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasure. We once were there too. We haven't always been saved. We haven't always been doing what's right in life. We did some wrong too. May not be the same thing that someone else did, but we did wrong. And you know what? Some of us are still doing some wrong. Every day of our lives, the spirit has to fight against that old flesh that we have on our body. The flesh, the pleasure that the flesh wants. Sometimes we have to keep our mouths closed, but sometimes we can't. That's why the Bible tells us not to provoke thee into anger. So you can get angry, but sin not. And sometimes we find ourselves saying something out of our mouths and said, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. That's not showing the Jesus in me. I have just stepped out of my calling. We can't do that. I've done it. Yes, I have. And you know what? My conscience beat me up. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel right. And most of the time, I'm talking about Norma Chapman now, when I did make mistakes and picked that Bible up, it goes right open to something that would condemn, that would convict me, not condemn, but convict me of what I had done. That's why we have to be careful every day of our lives, every minute and second of the day. The devil is somewhere around in your family and your children. Sometimes it gets in your pet. It gets, you can do something. They know that little dog or that little cat know he's not supposed to do it, and they'll do it anyway. Before you know, you get upset with it. I had a cousin that dog come home from work, and the dog know not to be up in her bed. Come home, and her husband loved that little dog. And come home and found that dog in the middle of bed. Before she knows, she took it and flung it out of her bed. Could have hurt the little puppy. But before she knew it. But she was sorry afterwards. That's why we have to stay prayerful at all times and ask God to lead and guide us in a righteous path. And it says that we live in malice, envy, being hated, and hating on one another. Isn't that something? Hating on one another. How many times do you find that in the church? Jealous and envy. If you can't sing like Sister Jones, ask God to give you something that he has for you. Don't try to sing like Sister Jones. If you can't pray like Brother Michael, don't try to pray like Brother Michael. Ask God to give you the words to say in your prayer. Brother Michael is having a conversation with God. And that's who you will be having a conversation with. It's not about it trying to impress anybody. See, that's what we mess up at. When we try to be like somebody else. When we want to be shown for, want to be seen. And we mess up that way. Instead of us just being ourselves and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us on the inside of us and hide ourselves behind the cross and let God take the lead way so we can be ourselves and we can do what the Holy Ghost tell us to do. I mean, I can't sing like Aretha Franklin. Why should I grab a mic and try to sing Amazing Grace like Aretha sung it? But I might can sing Amazing Grace. She might not like the way I sing it, but I'm doing the best that I'm doing what God gave Norma to do. And that's what we have to stay reminded. And what the scripture is saying about being hated, we was once hated. Somebody may be hating on you now. But you got to remember that hating on one another is not the way that God wants us to be. It's not doing what is good. It's doing what is evil. It's evil to be jealous of somebody. Jealousy brings on many strikes. Jealousy can bring on all types of... Jealousy has caused people to kill people, take people lives. Because they were jealous of them. You know? So this lesson today is something that we should constantly Go to the book of Titus. Go to the book of Matthew, the book of 1 Peter, Hebrews, Proverbs. And Proverbs gives us wisdom, tells us about the ones who have authority over, because one day you may not be in authority now, but one day God may put you in that position. Who knows? You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you and not curse you and not to do you no harm. So you don't know what plans God has for you. While you hating on sister and brother so-and-so, God said they just don't know what I got, what the plans that I had for them to do. Now, when they get in that position, somebody going to hate on you and going to disobey you and not going to want to listen to you. So we have to be mindful. We don't own ourselves. We don't do the calling. We don't do the anointing, and we do not do the appointing. So we don't know what God has in store for us. So let's be mindful of that, listeners. I'm going to soon turn it back over to my evangelist, Perkins. We're going to go to the fourth verse there in that third chapter. It said, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteousness things we have done, because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us gently and through Jesus Christ. And he was generously, the word was generously, not gracious, generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy thing. And it says that, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trust in God may be careful and devoted themselves to doing what is good. Thanks to God, we got to be careful. Saying here, they should stress this. They want the leaders, our teachers, the ones who God has appointed and anointed to teach us, to stress these things to us so that we may know and we may have trust in God. Having trust in God is having trust in the ones who put, or the ones who he put in leadership over us. If we can't trust God, if we can't trust them, you're not trusting God. Now, we're not saying that some people do not take advantage of their authority. Yes, they do. But they're only human, too. Mm-hmm. They're in the flesh, too. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about that, because God's going to do what? God is going to chastise them, too. As a matter of fact, you just don't know how God chastises the ones who have authority over you. They get it worse than you. Sometimes they talk about not sleeping at night. Sometimes they may not sleep for a whole month, tossing and turning. God working on them. God has to constantly work on us. He constantly keeps us in check so we can be able to lead his sheep in the path that they should go. When a shepherd is out there with his sheep, what he does? He keep them in line. It's just like a herd of that have horses. They keep the horses in the same, or keep them in the same herd. In other words, they round them up so they can all follow each one, just like an ant, a little small ant on the ground. That leader, they have a line, and they line themselves up. I've watched them. They line themselves up. They get up something to eat, and all the rest of them line up to go back into one little hole that they have prepared to call their house. The same way it is with a bee. It make a beehive. One will come, if they'll work on it, that one will fly away. Another one will come, they'll keep coming until they make it their home. And before you know it, they have a whole lot of going there to bring honey so that they may have a place to eat. That's the same way we are. Now, anytime an ant got that much sense, and a bee, and we have a brain, God give us five senses, and we cannot line up together in the Word of God, We can't follow each other in the same path that God has your leader, to ask you to follow him, obey him, respect him, have trust and confidence in him, because I placed him there. I give him the authority to have authority over you. So I'm going to quickly say this so I can turn it back over to you, Evangelist Perkins. And it said, these things are excellent and they're preferable for everyone. I mean, this is not anything out of line what Titus just said to us. This is good for all of us. But avoid foolishness, contrivance, and genealogy, and arguments and quarrels about the law. God didn't say that. God said this way. God didn't tell you to do that. Why are you telling all of that foolishness? And it caused us to stumble, okay? It caused us to fall because these are unperformable and useless. War and division and divisive, a warm divisive person once and then warms him a second time. That after that has nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is the wrapped up and is sinful, and he is self-condemned. That is a scripture there that we should, and I read that whole chapter of the third chapter of Titus to you, and I am going to turn you back over now to Evangelist Perkins, and check it away, Evangelist Perkins, and remember, listen, just press that number one if you have any comments or questions. I want to share your thoughts on today's topic. All right, Evangelist, you can take it away now.
Thank you, Dr. Chapman. I would like to say from the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it lets us know that we must respect our leaders and we must esteem our ministers highly in love, and this for their work's sake, because their business is to promote the honor of Christ and the welfare of men's souls. Faithful ministers ought to be so far from being lightly esteemed because of their work that they should be highly esteemed on account of it. And also, they must, among themselves, they should be at peace. And whatever go on in their church, among them, they should try to work it out among them and not take things outside of their church to other people to make it worse than what they are. Whatever go on in their church should stay among them in their church, because that is something that they have to work out. But to take things out of their church to others, no one knows what's going on in your home unless you tell them. So the people should be at peace among themselves, doing all that they can do to hinder any differences rising or continuing among them, and using all proper means preserve peace and harmony. They should be warned those who are idle. So there should be more love in our churches for one another. We should try to understand one another and try to work it out. And one should be able to bring peace with the other one. And even if one of them is angry with the other one, they should try their best to do like the Lord say do, because I used to wonder why the preachers would say it was a burden, that preaching was a burden. But I learned it's a burden when you got members and you can see from the pulpit that something is not going on right with them. And I believe it burdens the preacher. especially when one go to him complaining about the other one, and he's teaching all of them the same thing. So one is understanding and one is not. So I believe it becomes a burden to the preacher because he cannot take sides with his members. He just have to tell them what thus say the Lord. And some get angry because they feel that he should take sides, but he can't do that. So I think that in all societies and some who walk disorderly, whatever, I believe that these pastors want their members to love one another, walk substantially, and respect him and listen to his teaching because they are trying to help save our souls. So it hurts them to see one of their children not getting along with the other one. So that's why we should pay more attention to their teaching and want to do like the Lord say do, because God is giving them the word what they should tell us. And if we follow the instructions and get a fellowship with Christ, then we become better Christians and more respectable to our pastor and the church. Back to you, Dr. Chapman, and the listeners, if there are any.
God bless you, Evangelist Perkins. Listeners, you still have time to press that number one if you have any comments or questions. I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic, which is respecting leadership in the church. Paul tells us having godly church leaders is so important. Paul specifically addresses the characters and the responsibility of church leaders, called elders. And in Titus, what we were reading a few minutes ago, chapter 1, verses 5-16, do you know who the various leaders of your church are? Be sure to pray for them often and ask God to continue to build them in the character, spiritual maturity and abilities and abilities necessary to be wise and faithful church leaders. Now, let's go to the book of, let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to go there in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And we're going to start reading at the, let's start reading at the fourth verse. We're not going to have time to explain all of that. So I'm going to go back to this. We're going to start at the seventh verse, so listeners. And it says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was them who brought you to the word of God. Observe attentively, and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives. And I'm reading now from the book, from the Bible, George Meyer's Bible now, and explain it so we would, so a baby can understand it, okay? And it says that they overcome of their well-spent lives and to intimate their faith, their conviction that God have exits and is the creator and the ruler of all things, the provider, the besorter of eternal salvation through Christ, and their learning of the anti-human personality on God in absolute truth and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Jesus Christ the Messiah is always the same yesterday, today, and forever to the ages. Do not be carried away by different and varied teachings, for it is good for the heart to be established and is good for the ennobled and strengthened by means of grace, God's favor and spiritual blessing, and not to be devoted to food, rulers, and said food, I said food, like food that you eat, okay? Rulers of diet and ridiculousness of meals, which bring no spiritual benefit, but perfect to those who observe them. We have an altar for which those who serve and worship in the tabernacle have no right to eat. For when the blood of animals is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, the victim bodies are burnt outside the limit of the camp. Now, taking you back to the Old Testament and what this is saying to you, food, you know, the word of God says you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But in the Old Testament, when they would sacrifice animals for the sins of the people's sins and so on and so on. But when Jesus came, he shed his blood, all of our sins. And we're not living now by the law, but we're living on God's grace and mercy. So that's just a reminder there that the bodies are burnt outside the limit of the camp. They didn't bring it on the inside. They burnt it on the outside. Now, our bodies, through Jesus Christ's blood and his grace and mercy, we can dwell in the same temple together. You don't know if you're sitting with somebody and yet next to somebody and yet got it right, and you're going to point a finger over there and say, well, they're sinning, they're doing this, they're doing that. But guess what? Jesus didn't come that to save those which were saved. The word of God said he come to save those which were lost. So we have to stay and be reminded that we are here to bring those that's not of Christ. We're here to bring them. God has anointed upon us to bring the lost that they may be saved. And we have to take our time. We have to have understanding. I mean, one time when I wasn't doing it right, a whole lot of people said, I don't want to be bothered with Norma. The things she's doing is wrong. And I was doing wrong things. But then somebody took the time to pray for me. Somebody took out time. And I began to learn the word of God. I began to not do it Norma's way no more. I began to do it God's way. And I'm glad today that he looked beyond all of my faults and he saw my needs. And let me tell you something, listeners. When we stop doing it our way and we start doing it God's way, and we want to give up all of that bad and everything that we did, some things was good, but it wasn't good for us. It wasn't good for the body, for the nourishment, the spiritual. It wasn't spiritual good for us. You know, it might have been good in a lot of ways, but it wasn't spiritually good for us. So we had to give up everything that's not pleasing, acceptable to God. Now, you might say, Evangelist Chapman, how could we give up everything? You can do it. You can't do it. But we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And listeners, let me tell you, on today, I find no other way than the way and the path that God has me on now. I mean, I have a better life than I've ever had. You know, I'm able to talk with God. And sometimes when you don't even have an opportunity to talk to him and things happen so fast, he's looking over you. He's already fixed it because he knows what's ahead. We don't. And every day of our lives, we need each and every one of us. Even if you don't know me, and you might know Evangelist Perkins, or you might know someone that know us. You know, God put us in the path for us to learn and have an opportunity to grow in the knowledge of grace, in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Christ, okay? We people are lost because of lack of knowledge. You know, some of them don't really know they don't really know and recognize what they're doing. When they may say something, they may be doing something to hurt you. They may not really know how bad that is. But if we sometimes don't get offended by every little thing that happens to us, and we just take low sometimes, God can bring them same people back. And said the Bible said, now let us come and reason together, says the Lord. Now, when you can't reason with a person, then you just can't talk to them. And then you have to what? Do like he told Peter to do. Take your shoes off, dust your feet, wipe your hands of it, and be separated. So some people could cause you to step too much out of line, and you don't want that to happen. And wait until a change is going to come, you know, upon their lives, and God will bring them back in your life. And they can be able to see what you were trying to tell them. But that going back and forth with a person is not making it no better. Sometimes we can be right and we can see what they're wrong. And sometimes they can be wrong and cannot accept our right. But if we just reason with one another, God can fix it where we both or you both could be happy and you can be able to live with it. And it's getting late in the show right now. And then it's Perkins, I want you to do your come with your closing or emphasis on today's topic very shortly, and we want to see if there's any listeners out there want to join in on today's topic. It's been Ms. Perkins.
Dr. Chapman, I just want to say that I am in agreement with you because I, too, one day decided that I wanted to follow Christ, and I prayed and fasted that God would give me that strength and show me the way and show me how to do it. And I found that strength, that courage from God. I denied myself. And I'm so grateful today that I cast all of my cares upon him. And he accepted me. And I've learned how to recognize my leaders and their leadership. And I'm so glad today that I'm fellowshipping with Christ. And I pray that others on the line have also accepted him and fellowshipping with Christ, that we all may be with him someday. Back to you, Dr. Chapman.
God bless you, Evangie, such a mighty woman of God, humble, always humble. You never hear her raise her voice or get angry about anything. She's just a sweet, sweet person, and it's an honor to have her on Facing Your Fears. It's an honor for me to be in her midst. You know, she's such a beauty, and she not only is in her voice, she shows it. You know, I don't know whether listeners be listening to her voice, but she's the way she talks is the type of person that she is, and it's an honor to be a part of her. Our co-host who couldn't be with us on today, she out teaching. She's now, God has anointed her to become an apostle, and she's always busy and always going to a conference and traveling, doing the will of God. So we want to keep her in prayer on today. We also want to lift up in prayer our good friend Gloria Hall Johnson and ask God to heal her body. And we also want to remember all of those who's in the hospital on ventilators and those who are going through with the pandemic, with this terrible coronavirus and any other early disease that they're wrestling with. We want to ask God to bring healing upon their bodies as well. We want to pray for those who has death, who has a bowed down head on today, who've lost loved ones, who've lost friends, and we want to pray that God will comfort their family. And we know that this too shall pass. And we want to just give them words of encouragement on today to look to the hills on today, which come and say help. All of the help comes from God. And knowing that this too shall pass, death is no stranger to us. But guess what? If you haven't experienced it, keep a living. You will. And not only will we experience someone dying as close to us, we have to die. We're going to leave here one day. And we want to be ready when Jesus called our name. We want to work out our salvations now. Because when night cometh, no man can work. He said, comes as a thief in the night. And behold, his reward is with him. So listen, we want to do what's right and what's pleasing to God. And remember to obey those that have authority over us. Obey our pastor, our members of our family who's teaching us and praying with us and daily giving us or encouraging us through the word of God. And remember, they didn't write the word of God. They read and God give them the wisdom how to teach it, the knowledge how to teach it. And he has appointed these people to be teachers of his word. And when they teach us, let's ask God to give us the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding how to receive it. And not only should we receive it and eat it, ask God to help us to digest it. And after we digest it, ask God to help us to walk in that righteous path. And we want to just tell all of our listeners on today, we appreciate you every Thursday calling in and tuning in with Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show. Whenever I look at my dashboard, I get so happy. I thank God. I give God the glory that someone take the time out to listen, to dial that number, and to come in and fellowship with us here on the radio, here on Black Talk Radio, as we continue to go forward and do the will of God. And I pray every day. I tell the Lord, Lord, I want to do what's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And that you may get the glory out of all that we do. And I want you to stay strong out there in radio land. Continue to pray. Continue to teach. Continue to lead. Continue to pastor. Continue to evangelize. Continue to be to all that God has given you. If you may not be the best that you want to be, but whatever God gives you, you do your best. You do your best in that service, and God is going to continue to equip you with more and more and more and more. We thank God for you on today, and we've come to the end of the show at this time. Evangelist Perkins, do you have anything else you want to say to our listeners out there before the closing prayer?
No, ma'am. I'm just grateful, Dr. Chapman, that they came on with us. There is one thing, I will hurry up, that the members respect their pastor, and don't let anyone talk about your pastor, and don't you talk about your pastor to anyone else unless it's the word of God that he has taught you. Back to you, Dr. Chapman.
Amen, amen, amen. And I love my pastor. I'm under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr., where he'll be celebrating his 41th anniversary there at Greater Liberty Missionary Baptist. Greater Liberty Baptist Church, 1230 Desire Street. His father will be preaching his, bringing the word and preaching his anniversary this year. His father, now, he's been at Greater Liberty 41 years. And as our member said on Sunday, you do the math. So just think of your daddy, your father coming to preach your 41-year anniversary. What a blessing. So now we're going to ask God to strengthen all of us and ask God to keep on implanting in us and keep shining in our life, pour our fresh anointing upon our life. Father God, we thank you for another great opportunity, Father God, to go forth, Father God, here on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, Father God. We ask that, Father God, you continue to bless this radio show, Father God. Father God, we send listeners, Father God, that we may help somebody out there in radio land, those that do not know you, Father God, that they may come running saying, what must I do to be saved? Father God, we ask that you continue to look down on our co-host, Father God, Apostle Doris Smith, Father God, look down on Evangelist Perkins, Father God, and oh, Father God, all of our listeners, family and friends, Father God, give them the desires of their heart, Father God, and oh, Father God, let us recognize, Father God, who has authority over us in our life, Father God, help us to be obedient, Father God, help us, Father God, stay lined up with your word, Father God, and when it's all over, Father God, that you may get the glory,
yes, Lord,
out of all that we do and say. And, oh, Father God, that someone, Father God, that may
yes,
come
Lord,
running to you and touch their lives on today, Father God. These are my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Until next Thursday, Father God, bless our listeners, oh, Father God, and we pray that they'll come back on next Thursday for another awesome topic. God bless your listeners. And God keep it. This is the end of the show for today. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.